The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
Good morning. How are you guys? Yeah, we welcome back. It's a new school year. We started our new schedule, which is early service at 9:30 and this service at 11. I want to say welcome. My name is John. I'm the pastor here at Hope Hill, and we're excited to start a new school year. This is kind of like our fifth year. We'll celebrate year five in February, and we're so excited that God opened up the doors, literally to the school. We came here 5 years ago and said, we've got a church that's starting to grow. We're meeting in our house. We're outgrowing it. We grew to about 80 in my home. Can we come meet at the school? And the principal at the time said, I'm sorry. We don't do weekend events. We like to give our staff the week off. And we started praying. 2 weeks later, that principal retired. I'm not joking. A month later, the new principal was here and invited us in. We are grateful for what God did in opening up the doors for us to gather here. Thank you for coming and being a part of our service today. Okay, so let's dive in. We're starting a new series today called The Call. And what the key that I need you to hear is that the call is for every single one of us. Even if you don't yet know who Jesus is, His voice is calling out to you. It's calling to each and every one of us. How many of you grew up in the days before cell phones? We're old, okay? We're the old people in here. So we grew up in the days before cell phones. I remember often being told by my mom or dad, don't go too far because when dinner's ready, we're going to call you. How many of you had that happen in your life? You'd go out and play in the neighborhood. How many of you missed dinner a time or two? Because you did not hear the call. Exactly. I did as well. There were times where I would come home and they would be like, we called you. I'm like, where's dinner? You'll learn next time. Don't go too far when we say. Many times in life, we can go too far. So far that we don't hear the call. And for some of you, maybe something has drawn you back. You've come to this place today, and I want you to know that I believe that you're here today because God wants you here today. That the Holy Spirit, in a way that you may not realize, has been calling you and drawing you to Himself. And this call that comes out from God, our loving Father, our Creator, our King, it's calling to each and every one of us in this room. And God's call is not just a call to reach out to us, to let us know that He loves us, but that He has a plan for us, that He has a mission for us. And the call is going to you, not to professionals who have got seminary degrees, not to those who have studied for years and years and years and who can lead, make a theologian sound simple, not just the religious elite. The call goes out to each and every one of us. And I hope that you capture that in our series that we're going to be looking at. Our key verse for this series is 1 Peter Chapter 2, verse 21. It says this. To this you were what? To this you were called. This is something that is happening. It is happening now. The Holy Spirit is calling out to you. You are being called. A big problem in a lot of our churches around the world is the work of the ministry is far too often left to the professionals. Those of us, I went to school, I have my training, I've been ordained, I've got a denomination to back it up, and I've been set apart as, here's our professional pastor. God never said the work was to be done by paid ministers. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible said that He would raise up the saints, the church. You are the ones being called to be the church. My job and the job of each of us is to use the gifts that God has given us to equip the body. Each and every one of us are members of that body for the work of the ministry. You have been called. You. Throughout the scriptures, you can see people who are being called who are often overlooked. If you go to the early parts of the Old Testament, you see a man named Moses. How many of you know the story of Moses? How many of you saw Prince of Egypt or the old people in here saw the Ten Commandments? But I keep saying that. Why am I saying that so much? I do feel old. I'm 43. And a sign of oldness is I'm having surgery this week. Old people have surgeries. I'm having surgery this week. So I won't be preaching next week, but we will have a good message next week. So be here. But prayers are definitely welcome. I'm having my thyroid taken out now that I've spilled those beans. My thyroid's coming out, and it should be simple and easy, and I'll be back soon. But pray. They said, oh, there is a small, slight chance you'd lose your voice, but we hope that doesn't happen. Hello? Did I tell you I'm a pastor? I kind of need my voice, but yeah. So anyways, prayers are appreciated. I'll have surgery on Tuesday morning. But here's the key. Even if I was gone, the church was given the mission, not to the pastor, not to the leaders, the church, each and every one of us sitting in these chairs here today. You are the church. You are given this mission. And we're here to do all that we can to empower you. We come together in this place not to be the church, but to have the church gathered to be the church outside of this place. What we do here is a gathering to equip us to be the church 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, outside of this place. To this, you were called. Because Christ suffered for you, leaving you a what? An example for you to memorize. Is that what it says? Leaving you an example for you to study. Is that what it says? Leaving you an example for you to what? Follow in his steps. How many of you grew up playing Simon Says? Simon Says, raise your hand. Put your hands down. I got a couple of you. The kids today, many of them don't. Simon Says, put your hands down. The kids today, they don't know this game because I don't think there's an app for it yet, Simon Says. But the truth is, a lot of us fail in the game of Simon Says when it comes to our following Christ. Oftentimes, when Simon says, yeah, we do it, but when Jesus says, we don't always do it. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. Jesus said, I have set for you an example, not to memorize, but to follow. Jesus did it, not so we would admire him for doing it, but so that we'd follow in his footsteps and do likewise. To be called a Christian is to be called a little Christ, to be Christ-like. We are his plan A, and there is no plan B. You were called to be like Christ, to follow in his example, to obey him, to be the fulfill the mission that he set out for us to fulfill. Let me kind of break it down. Neither of my daughters are here, but if you were to come to my house, or if I were to go home, and find, which would never happen, find one of my daughter's rooms a mess. Again, it would never happen. But if it were to happen, and I kid, by the way, if I were to go home and say, Alexis, go and clean your room. And 10 minutes later, she comes back and says, Dad, you're going to be so proud of me. I memorized what you said. You said, Alexis, go and clean your room. How is that? Isn't quite where it's supposed to be. Okay, Lexi comes to me and says, oh, Dad, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call 5 or 6 of my friends. They're going to come over, and we're going to get together in my room, and we're going to do a study on what it would look like if we cleaned the room. Not quite getting it. And so many times, that's how we are in the church. We memorize the sayings of Jesus. We could tell you exactly how things are supposed to happen, but many times we fall short of actually putting these things into practice and doing what he said to do. We were called to be his disciples. We were called to not only be disciples, but to go and make disciples. You are called to make disciples. There's a phrase in the Bible called the Great Commission. It's like the last commands of Jesus as he was leaving his friends and saying, okay, the last 3 years I've been pouring into your life. I've been preparing you. Now, here's the deal. In Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20, he said, therefore, what? Go. This is a big word. You know how I know that? I studied the Greek. In English, it's only two letters. But it's a lot more. I think I put it in your notes. The word go in Greek is, say it with me, poruumehi. One more time. Poruumehi. It's a lot easier in English, isn't it? Go. Therefore, go. Not therefore come and study what I told you to do. Therefore, go and do it. Actually, properly translated is better put to travel, to depart, to go, to take a journey. It could often be translated as you go or as you are going, as you are living life. Therefore, as you go and be the teacher God's called you to be. Therefore, as you go and be the student in your school. Therefore, go as you are the neighbor living in your community. As you are living life, day in and day out, in the normal comings and goings, make disciples. Not just at a church and a program. You are the church. I am the church. We are the church together 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Therefore, in all we do, in all of our going, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to what? Obey. Not memorize, not study, not get a PhD or a master's level in divinity on what Jesus said or did, but go and obey, doing it. Obey everything I commanded you. A disciple back then, we're going to talk more about this next week, a disciple back then was chosen at an early age. If a child was showing an aptitude or that they were getting the deeper principles and truth behind the teachings of the old scriptures, a rabbi would choose that child to be a disciple. And he wouldn't just sit down and teach him the old scriptures. They would live life together. He would be pouring into the life of that individual. That individual would devote their life to the following in the footsteps of that master. It was a deep relationship of living life together, and in the process of living life together, there would be learning and doing and shaping and serving and transforming and impacting the world around them. Jesus came and chose fishermen and tax collectors. And they were of that career because they were rejected as disciples of rabbis. But Jesus chose them. I chose you. And today, Jesus wants you to know that He chooses you. Today, to be that disciple, to be that learner, to be that student, to be that person following in His footsteps. And so, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. And this is where we kind of are going to spend the rest of our time, since our time is already drawing short. And we'll pick up the rest in a couple weeks when I return to teaching. But here are some foundational principles that we have to realize that as God is building the church, this is His church. We are a part of something bigger than ourselves. The church is worldwide. There are billions of people who worship our God and Savior. And we are all united as one body. Jesus' prayer in John 17 was that we would all be one on mission, not just gathered together in services an hour a week, but on mission, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And Peter, an interesting character, but one of the disciples that Jesus called in Luke chapter 5, Peter writes these words as a source of encouragement to all Christians who would read this in the future. He wrote this to many of the Christian believers around the known world at that time. And let's dive in and see what this says. Peter, an apostle. Apostle means sent one. Peter was chosen. He was a fisherman. Jesus said, I'm not only going to change your name from Simon to Peter, but I'm also going to change your career. You're no longer going to be a fisherman, but a fisher of men. And you're going to be a disciple, a follower of mine. And then He says, Peter, now you're an apostle. I'm sending you out to carry on the mission. In the very same way, He now wants you to see yourselves as apostles, as sent ones, to go and carry on the mission of Christ in our world where He has placed us. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. How many of you hated days when you'd be out in the schoolyard and they had the schoolyard pick going on to choose teams? I hated that. I was terrible at basketball, and I was always one of the last ones picked. Every once in a while, a PE teacher would select individuals like me that weren't very skilled athletically, and I got to be the captain. And I remembered how dreadful it felt not being picked. You ever felt that way? Anybody here ever? Yeah, some of you are identifying with what I'm saying. And so I was like, I want to make somebody feel good. So I like intentionally picked those kids that wouldn't get picked. We didn't win many games, but it was fun picking them because I knew how it felt to be left and last. Jesus wants you to know that He has picked you. You are chosen by God. To God's elect, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, chosen ones, you are chosen. God has chosen you. To God's elect, just as He chose Moses, who had a speech impediment, to be His mouthpiece. God, what are you talking about? I'm slow of speech. It doesn't matter, Moses. I'm sending you to be my voice. He chose later, Paul, a guy who was killing and persecuting Christians. I'm using you to be one of my first missionaries. In the same way, God is choosing you. You think you're unchoosable? You think there's something unworthy about you? You may be the best candidate for God to choose. And He is choosing you. To God's elect, His chosen ones, strangers in this world. Why are we called strangers? Many times the scriptures call us aliens and strangers in a foreign land. God wants us to know that if you are one of His children, one of His chosen ones, this is not your permanent home. This earth that we live in now is broken. It's in darkness. And we have a purpose. God has put us here as aliens and strangers, as ambassadors to a foreign land, to let them know, let this world know of His light, His love, through Jesus Christ, so that they can come to know their permanent home in the kingdom of God. We are aliens and strangers, scattered throughout this area. Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, all these places where the gospel is being spread, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in our lives for obedience. What are we chosen for? Obedience. Obedience to Jesus Christ and the sprinkling of His by His blood. We were bought with a price, it goes on to say. And my hope is that you'll go and you'll study all of chapter 1 and chapter 2. It's the foundation of this series. We were chosen. What were we chosen for? We were chosen to be saved, to be set apart. God loves us. He wanted to redeem us to Himself. Because of sin, we're separated from God, and it required Jesus' blood to be shed to unite us with Himself again. But we weren't simply saved just to be chosen. We weren't simply saved just to be united back to God. We were saved for the salvation of the world. From the beginning, in Genesis chapter 12, God said to Abram, I'm blessing you so that you will be a blessing to the nations. And Jeremiah, when the Israelites were carried into exile, into captivity in the Babylonian Empire, in Jeremiah 29, a lot of us like the verse that says, I have plans for you to prosper. We memorize that. It's on our coffee cups. But a lot of us don't know the first part where it says, yes, you're in exile, but I have a purpose for you while you're in exile, and it's to pray for the city where I have sent you. Are you praying for the city where God has sent you? Are you seeing yourselves as fishermen in these waters, making disciples of those that God is placing around you? We are God's chosen ones. A royal priesthood is sitting in this room. Ambassadors sent by God to make disciples. He goes on and says from verse 3 through 13 that we were chosen for salvation. The angels don't even get salvation. The angels aren't treated the same as we are. And we're going to talk about heaven and hell and angels and Christ coming again later in November. I hope you come back for that. But we're not only saved to one day be in heaven, we're saved for the salvation of this world. God has a plan for us. He goes on and says, because you're saved, therefore, in verse 13, jump to 13, it says, therefore, prepare your minds for what? Action. There is something that God has for us to do, and it's not just sit in a church service once a week. God has us as an army being sent out, deployed into the places where He's sending us. In Acts chapter 17, it says that God appointed the time and the place and the season and the boundaries in which you and I would live for a purpose, to take His light, His love, and His mission to this world. Therefore, prepare your minds for action, be self-controlled, and set your hope fully on the grace to be given to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, you get the theme here today? Salvation is by grace and faith alone. You can't earn your way into salvation. Jesus paid it all. There is nothing more that we can do. We have to simply put our faith and trust in the grace that God gives. That's how you become a child of God, by believing. But then once you are a child of God, you will begin to look like Him. Faith without works is dead. And Jesus said, if you're going to be my followers, you'll follow me. You'll do the things that I have for you to do. He goes on to say, and let's jump down to 17. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. Again, that realization that we're not in a permanent world. We ought to be living in a way not afraid of God, but living for the fear of knowing that there is a judgment coming from God. There is a love coming that is being poured out, that we need to share it with this world. There needs to be an urgency to what we're doing and the way we're living. For you know that it is not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but instead it was with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through Him, you believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and glorified Him, so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying, that word again, Andrew a couple years ago said, if you see a word over and over again, circle it. It's there for an important reason. Remember that sermon for those of you that were here? This word keeps popping up. Yourselves by obeying the truth that you have sincere love for your brothers. Love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living, enduring word of God. It goes on in chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, rid yourselves of everything that will hold you back. All malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander, all of these things. And like newborn babes, crave. How many of you have a craving right now for lunch? You're hungry. In that same way, crave the things of Jesus, the things of the kingdom, like spiritual milk. So that by it you will grow up in your salvation now that you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. He goes on and there's a beautiful picture of him painting and saying Jesus is building the church, but it's not out of wood and stone. Jesus is building the church out of you. There was a chief cornerstone. Jesus is the first stone that was laid, and then each and every one of us here are stones built upon Jesus. And we are being built up. Verse 4, as you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God, and precious to Him, you also are like living stones. And you are being built up into a spiritual house. You are the church. Being built up into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And he goes on in verse 9, again, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. You were one time in the darkness, but no longer. You're now in the light, he says. Dear friends, I urge you, verse 11, as aliens and strangers in this world, abstain from the sinful things. In Hebrews it says, cast off all things that hinder you, that trip you up and keep you from running the race that God has called for you to run. And in verse 12 of this passage it says, live such good lives among those in this world. They use the word pagans in scriptures, those who do not yet know Christ. Live such good lives among them that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and come to glorify your Father God in heaven on the day He visits us. This builds up and it goes into a passage where it talks about even submitting in the times of hardship. If you were to become slaves, God says, even then, remember what I taught you. Even when people mistreat you, do what I said to do, and they will see your good works and come to know me. Because, he says in verse 21, to this you were called, because Christ, as an example, suffered for you, leaving you as an example that you should follow in his footsteps. Hope Hill Church, we want to be a church that doesn't just gather together occasionally. We want to realize we are on a mission that is happening 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are here to bring the love and light of Christ to this world so that no one will miss it. And we do it not just in words, but in deeds, in how we live, and how we outreach to those we work with, that we play with, those we live with. And when we begin to live this way, as disciples, making disciples, we will begin to see the world change. Here's a little picture of what that might look like.
This is Nate. Nate became a Christ follower 2 weeks ago and is still a bit giddy about it, though he's trying not to do cartwheels in public. Nate became a believer partly because of Kim. Yet oddly enough, Kim and Nate have never met. How is this possible? Well, let's take a look. Kim loved Jesus from an early age, and in college she had a huge impact on her friends. While most of her peers used their college years to, well, experiment, Kim didn't. She remained committed to her faith, and it showed. It especially showed to Lisa, her roommate, who confessed to Kim that she wanted whatever it was that made Kim so strong. Kim shared her faith with Lisa, and Lisa believed. Years later, at Lisa's first real job, she met Thomas. Thomas was hit by a drunk driver when he was 13 and still carried a lot of anger and bitterness. Thomas and Lisa became friends, and it wasn't long before he started going to church with Lisa and her husband. After a lot of studying and searching, Thomas gave his life to Christ. Fast forward a few years. Thomas became a public speaker and was often asked to speak at large events. See, when he became a believer, Thomas developed a new perspective on life. He stopped resenting what had been taken from him and started being thankful for the second chance he had been given. On one particular day, Thomas shared about overcoming hardship and what it means to choose joy. He was so passionate that a number of people were inspired to share a link to his video. The video of Thomas inspired James, too. And if anyone needed inspiration, it was him. James had a ton of issues. He spent most of his life as a passive husband, an absent father, and a horrible friend. That said, no one disliked him more than he disliked himself. But everything changed the night he happened to watch Thomas online. Something clicked and he knew what he had to do. He surrendered his miserable life to someone greater, and he was forever changed. James fought hard to make up for the lost years with his family. And he also began working with young men who were in danger of throwing their lives away. One of those men was Nate. Nate didn't really know his own dad, and he had no real direction in life, ultimately bouncing from one bad decision to another. Because of that, he often found himself in trouble with the law. No one had ever showed him what it looked like to be a real man. That is, until he met James. James became the first father figure Nate ever had. He learned about honesty, self-control, humility, and integrity, and where those traits come from. 2 months later, Nate publicly declared his belief in Christ, and of course, James was there. Now you can see the connection. Nate was impacted by James, who was influenced by Thomas. Thomas saw an uncommon joy in Lisa, who learned of Jesus from Kim. Kim's relationship with God eventually led to Nate's. Funny how these two people have never met and never will.
As we go, as we live life, make disciples. Several months ago, we had an opportunity to bring a lot of our teenagers to summer camp. I share this with you not to try to just recruit you to join our ministries, to pour into them, but to let you know that life is hard and we have a group of people looking for disciple makers, looking for people who are going to love and pour into them. Let me give you a picture of what some of our students are struggling with. Out of 38 students that went to camp, these thoughts were shared from 26 of them. Life's hard at home because my dad died 2 years ago unexpectedly. Life's struggles can be hard because my sister died last month. My brother died last year. My dad left last week. We don't know if he's coming back. My dad's an alcoholic and can't get a job. We're trying to adopt a child from an abusive home. My mom's sister died unexpectedly. My grandfather committed suicide. My dad just told us that he's leaving my mom. I had a child rescued from sexual abuse and is now in counseling. Emotional abuse. Another child being sexually abused. Another child dealing with a new broken home. Another child was hospitalized for trying to commit suicide and is dealing with deep depression. Three or four children wrote down that they are in danger of losing their house because they can't pay their bills. Their parents are working multiple jobs and can't make ends meet. Another child doesn't live at home anymore because it's too dangerous there. And the list goes on. This is our youth group. These are the kids that God has sent to this church to be loved on and to be chosen to be discipled. Are you ready to answer that call? We're to be a family, loving and caring on each other. My hope is that God is bringing those who He wants here to pour into those who He's sending here. If you're here today and you don't know where you stand even with this God stuff, maybe you've heard of Jesus, but you don't know Him as your Savior, then my hope is today your first step is just saying, you know what? I open up my heart. God, come in. Jesus, I want you as my Savior. Come into my life and make me new. And my hope is that if you do that today, come up and let me know in a minute. I'd love to pray with you and just say, yeah, let's start this journey together. It'll be the greatest decision you've ever made. If you're here and you already are a follower of Christ, but you know that you're not living exactly the way that God wants you to live, then deal with that now. Let God's Holy Spirit speak to your heart and say, okay, God, in this moment, because of what you did for me, as I take communion today and remember that your body was broken on that tree for me and your blood was shed as you take a piece of this bread, remembering what Christ did for you, and you dip it in the cup, remembering his blood was shed for you, eat of that saying, God, help me to live for you. Take these next few moments as the Holy Spirit speaks to you and respond. Christ, how do you want me to obey you today? Father God, I pray that you move in our midst right now. Help us to follow you, to be obedient children to you, our loving and gracious Father. I ask these things in the power of your Son's name and through the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen.